And joining us now on the line from Berea is the new defensive coordinator of the Browns, Ray Horton. First of all, Ray, congratulations and welcome to the Browns.
Thank you, Vic. I really appreciate it. And before we start, when you say welcome to the Browns, the fan support has been fantastic. I've been up here a week, and in between a couple restaurants and the airport, people coming up, I was in the Phoenix airport, Cleveland Brown fans come up, hey, I'm a season ticket holder, hey, I'm in the dog pound. The baggage handlers up here in Cleveland, hey, coach, glad to have you here. The fan support has just been awesome.
Well, that's great to hear, and it's not surprising. I mean, it's typical of people who, especially when they're excited about someone with your credentials coming to this football team. And let's start with that, Ray. I mean, before this came down to your becoming the defensive coordinator of the Browns, there was a whole lot of discussion about your potentially being a head coach, and I'm sure that time is going to come for you eventually. But when you kind of deal with those parallel worlds of pursuing a head coaching job and then ending up with this, just give me that mindset of that and where your head was eventually when you got to the point where, okay, it's not going to be a head coaching job this time around, but, you know, the idea of coming to Cleveland, and I know you're very excited about it.
Yeah, well, the genesis of it was, you know, when Mr. Haslam and Mr. Banner, you know, offered me a chance to interview, I was very excited. And, you know, we played Arizona and Cleveland played a year ago.
Yep.
So you're familiar with some of the personnel. This year in the offseason, I was able to, you know, jump into it and take a good, quick look at them. And, boy, was I excited about a young team built with nothing but big, strong, fast players that, you know, play to the finish. So I was encouraged by, you know, the personnel here and then the ownership. And obviously I just met some of the fans, and I think you've got a great, you know, triangle base there of ownership, players, fans to be very supportive to move forward.
I know, and we can talk a lot about this as far as the scheme and what your ideas are with that, but first and foremost, you've got a very base thought of energy, aggressiveness. I mean, there are just some basic elements, traits, that you want from a defense because that really was the signature of those defenses you built in Arizona.
Yeah, I used a term today at the press conference of big men that can run, little men that can hit. And that's what I saw on film. You know, our big men up front can all run, and they run very well. They make plays, you know, behind the line of scrimmage and also downfield. And then, you know, some of our smaller skilled players are tenacious, and they're not afraid to come up and hit. And when you have that combination of guys who are willing to run and do what it takes and guys that are fearless, you can put together a good defense. And I think we've got the makings of that because they do have those qualities.
Well, let's talk scheme because, and that's been a big topic of discussion. The Browns had been a 4-3 type of team the last couple of years defensively under Dick Geron, and you know that. And you come in with a concept that really was built through your time working with Dick LeBeau in Pittsburgh. As I kind of look at it, it seems very Steeler-like in its idea base. Is that accurate? And if you could give me a sense of, is that pretty much what you want to bring to the Browns?
Somewhat, I think, Vic. I think the genesis probably comes from the 3-4 Pittsburgh because everybody, you know, is familiar with that. But, you know, since I left, I've changed quite a bit, and we do some things that, you know, they do not, that are kind of unique to us.
For instance?
The personnel that we have here, it's going to allow me to do even more creative things with, you know, I've talked about a multiple, you know, defensive front of having, you know, not necessarily a 3-4. It could be a 4-3, could be a 5-2. Sometimes it's going to be a 4-4, just depending on what we do. But I'm very encouraged. Not really necessarily. I guarantee you we'll have 11 on the field. But, you know, the arrangement and the configuration, it's going to be limitless because of what our guys can do. So that's just going to add to our package of what we do.
What you said there are some things that changed in since your time working with Dick LeBeau, and you put in some of your own concepts. It's true with any coach on either side of the ball, but what are some of the things that are kind of uniquely yours, say?
Well, I think schematically, you look in really what I first do, the first thing I do is what do the players do best? Because I'm going to do what they do best no matter what it is. And if you have guys that are able to, as I said, the big men that can run and the little men that can hit, with our big guys, you know, when you have Reuben and Phil Taylor and Frosty, these type guys that can drop and cover and run, it allows you to do a myriad of things where you can drop certain guys, blitz certain guys, have confusion on, hopefully on the offensive part of what we're doing, who's coming, who's not. It just allows you to do so many more things and to just to be a predictable team of, oh, this is what they do, and they line up in one thing for you. We won't do that.
Ray Horton, the new defensive coordinator of the Browns, on the line with us from Berea as we broadcast from Super Bowl 47 Radio Row here in New Orleans. Ray, you as a coach who comes from a playing background, 10 years in the league as a defensive back, and then now 19 years of coaching that you have, how much of that player experience that you have that you do you incorporate into your coaching just to connect with players? And obviously there's going to be guys who certainly don't, who are too young to remember you as a player. Others would, but as a rule, that's going to be the case. But how yeah. much of it is it, hey, this is what I did and this is how we did it, and that establishes credibility for you?
Well, some of those players will probably think we played in leather helmets back then. They'll think I'm that old. So I don't know if that gives me any credence. But where it does help is, you know, one of those been there, done that. And what I mean by that is sometimes it's that gut feeling you have inside, or tension of, wow, this is a big play coming up, and, you know, this is an important play. Maybe the butterfly effect, if you will, of what people feel. That helps you a little bit on the inside of, I remember that feeling. But it's still football, it's X's and O's, and it's really about getting the guy with the ball. So maybe from the player standpoint, it gives me a little credibility, but they'll really either respect me or not by, you know, how I treat them and how I call a game.
And you will sort of determine, I guess, that mindset, because there are certain things you know that you did to succeed that people that you played as teammates, played against and were teammates of, that they had to succeed in this league and have longevity. When you look at a guy, Coach, you're looking for certain specific qualities that you can identify. You know it when you see it.
You should. And, you know, there's guys that break the mold. They're not all the same. You can't just say it's a cookie cutter and you stamp somebody out and here they come. You know, there's going to be guys that, you know, don't run fast enough with measurables. They're not tall enough. They're not heavy enough, but they still know how to play football and get the job done. There's other guys that are going to just perfectly fit the mold, and, wow, there's something missing there. But from what I see of our guys, we have a talented group of young guys that love to play and run hard and play hard.
However you do it schematically, and like you said, there's going to be a lot of different groupings and such. It's going to have multiple looks, and that would be fair to say. But how much or how difficult do you anticipate a transition to be for those players who will be incumbents that are still on this roster from the 4-3 these last couple of years?
I don't think it will be hard, Vic, because schematically you're going to play some of the same type coverages, some same type blitz, the same type. There's going to be some adjustments on technique and the minute, you know, details of football that they'll pick up. Terminology, I think, is going to be the biggest thing. Not schematically. Will it be different? Yeah, it'll be different. But, you know, if you're lined up on a guard, you know, you're still trying to get the guy with the ball. You're trying to knock the quarterback down. All those things that translate, they do. Will it be a different language? Yeah, probably it will. But they'll get that.
And when it comes to the teaching part of this game, which is what coaches are teachers, what would you say if you had to, I know it's easier if someone else is describing you as a teacher, but what kind of a teacher are you, and what are some of the maybe things that you do technique wise in your teaching process that are unique to you?
Vic, that's a great question, because that's what we are. And what I am, I think, is an open teacher, and by that I mean people learn differently. Some people are visual, some people audio, some people need their hand in the dirt, some people can need to be able to read it. It just depends on how you learn. And what I try to do is exhaust all avenues to teach, because everybody can learn it. It's just different. And the best example I can give you is last year I went to get my pilot's license. It was something I'd never done before, and it was really a foreign language to me, kind of like the players. And I was able to, I had a great teacher, and I was able to take principles from that and apply them to me coaching. And I think I became a better coach by me stepping outside of my box and learning something new, just like the players learn something new. And I think it made me more patient, and it allowed me to maybe try to find a different way to teach.
What did you, you've been in this league a long time as a player and a coach. What are some of the characteristics? You talked right at the outset about how much the fans have embraced you, how you feel the instant connection with the with Cleveland. What have you known of this city and of this team before you got here?
Well, you know, I played in Cincinnati for 6 years, right. And, you know, we played Cleveland in the Dog Pound in the old stadium. Then being in Pittsburgh, you know, we played them again twice a year. And, you know, the rivalry has been great in both places. You know, the Cleveland Browns were named after Mike Brown, you know, yep. of the Cincinnati Bengals. So, you know, there's that heritage. And then just the
I'm sorry, actually Paul Brown, but Mike's his son.
It is Paul Brown. Just the heritage of the Cleveland Browns, and then just the awesome pride in Cleveland. Right. When the team left to get a team back and to keep the records and to be called the Cleveland Browns, and it's one of the founding, you know, teams of the league, and it's one of the marquee franchises.
Well, Coach, we're so thrilled to have you aboard this team, and I look forward to working with you and having you, of course, back on the show frequently as we go forward.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Vic.
All right. He is Ray Horton, the new defensive coordinator of the Browns, joining us on the line from Berea on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we continue to broadcast from Radio Row Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans on ESPN 850 WKNR.